But Baba had said one thing, this reminded me of, well, Baba gave us the prayer called the Parvadigar's prayer, you know.
Have you read that prayer, son?
Master's prayer, as it is called. Mm-hmm. It is there, I think. It's where is the tray? It's inside the tray there. Paul, see that there's a tray there? Somebody got it printed recently in booklet form. So this Master's Prayer is a wonderful, it reminds me, you said that how rapidly they would say the prayer and all that, that reminded me of an episode that happened here in this hall. You got it? Are there any booklets? It's all right. If it is not there, it doesn't matter. Behind that there are some booklets. Is that Master's Prayer, Alan? No, that is circular for the Amartithi. No. Okay, it's all right. See, it's not there?
I don't think so.
So the people may have taken them away. So, Baba gave us this prayer called the Master's Prayer. And in the prayer there is nothing to ask God, but it's just glorification. That's all. Taking His name in different forms, in different ways, and expressing His attributes and all that. And although He had given the prayer to humanity, but He Himself would participate in the prayer. So, once, twice, we thought that, well, He's trying to make us say the prayer, recite the prayer, but then later on, and every now and then you'd say, well, say the prayer. So, He would participate in the prayer, but not just participating. Actually participating as one would want to pray to the Lord. So that basin that you see there, that blue basin there, and that water pot that is there in that now stock of flowers there, plastic flowers, that was the water pot and the basin there. He would pour the water in, wash his hands and splash fresh water on his face, and then he would dry his hand and all that, and he would stand up from his seat and act of worship. And we'll all stand and we'll read out the prayer, recite the prayer. That's how he would be participating in the prayer. And after the prayer is said, then he would call for this proof, and he would keep the stools over there, and then he would sit down, and each one who participated in the prayer was asked to put his right foot out on the stand that is there near him. And he would bend down all the way and put his forehead on the right, on the foot, right foot, put his foot there. And at the point of contact he would ask us to shout out the name of any one name that we love, any one name of God. So for Zoroastrians it would be Aura Mazda, and for Mohammedans it was Allahu Akbar, and for Hindus it would be Parabrahma Paramatma, and for Christians it would be God the Beloved. So at the point of contact, each contact that he'd have his forehead, then one had to shout out. So he'd bow down at the feet of the people who were participating in the prayer, and who had participated. So it would continue like that. So he not only gave the prayer, but he also participated in the prayer. But now what happened is, as years passed by with the passage of time, and his health became more and more frail, and he could not stand and participate the way that he used to, then people used to support him on both sides, and he would be there. Same thing. He would then bend down whenever he liked it, not every day. It would be, say, about 100 days in a year or something like that, intermittently. Once he said, then as the days were approaching, the day that is approaching now, 31st January, when he dropped his body. That is known as Amartithi. You know this 31st January that is coming now? Is there, within a week now. So, as these days were approaching, so he was becoming more and more weak. Imagine, body was getting weaker. So when I used to read out the prayer, it said, read out fast. So read out fast. Because I could not recite it by heart. I used to get stuck with the first two lines. And yeah, I couldn't remember anything. So we had made a point to read out the prayers in his presence. So we used to read out fast, faster, still faster, still faster. And then one day it happened that the speed was so great that I burst out into laughter while praying, just as he felt it, you see. Hearing those people, I felt it hearing my own voice. I said, what is this? What are we doing here? Are we running a race of words, a verbosity, or what is it? I burst out laughing. In this place, I was standing here. He just remained solemn. Everybody remained solemn, of course.
Except
myself, you know. And then I controlled myself with great difficulty, you know. You know how difficult it is to control one's laughter or one's tears when one is full of emotions. It's like that. It was emotional outburst. So after everything was over, when we had put forth our feet and he had bowed down to us and all that, then when he used to settle down, he said, what caused you to laugh at the time of the prayer? He asked me. So I told him that, well, the speed was so great, I myself was amazed, you see, whether I'm praying or whether it's an express train running through a railway station. So he says, you are a crazy person, you are mad, you don't realize the impact on posterity of my participating in the prayer now, even at this stage. When I drop my body, when I pass away from your midst, and when posterity will continue to recite this prayer, my participation will always help them. That's what he said. So the master's prayer is there. He is participating in it while you pray. Remember that. You cannot eulogize God or glorify him as he himself could glorify himself. So he aids us. But funny thing happened, once it so happened that while we were about to start the prayer, we got ourselves caught by a philosopher who came, who was a lover of Baba. The door would be shut naturally at that time, and those few who are here would be participating in the prayer. But a philosopher came from on a vacation from Nagpur in India. So he came and he started fumbling at the door, which was half shut like that. And he tried to open it. So the noise was there. He had the right to come in because he was given a standing invitation. During his vacation he can come. So he had come. So he knew that Baba would be here. He was very close to Baba. He is close to Baba. He's still alive. By the way, he's coming for Amatiti. This old man, Dr. Deshmukh, yeah, the one who compiled the discourses, MA in philosophy, head of the Department of Philosophy at the university, he came. So Baba naturally asked, who is there? So we said, Dr. Deshmukh has come. Just call him inside. He came. Baba made him stand there in that corner there. Stand there. And then he signaled to us. He didn't know what's happening. He had never seen this sight before. And he wondered what was happening. Baba himself was standing. Not the last days, it's some years ago. So then of course I started reading out the master's prayer. But he had never seen a sight. He thought that God himself, he took Baba as God, the veritably God in human form. He never expected God to participate in the prayers. To whom does he pray to? But he didn't say anything. He couldn't bear, because it was all so sudden when he came inside. So Baba is all solemn, you see. And we are all solemn, and I am reading out the prayer in all solemnity. But his thoughts were quite different. So what's the matter? Why is Baba participating in the prayer? There must be some greater God than Mehr Baba. And what are we doing, you see? Why can't we catch hold of a better God, you see, a greater God? This is how the mind works. Well, that was all right, glorifying God. Well, it's good that he participates in his glorification, you see. But then it came to the point where the next prayer is called the prayer of repentance, where we repent. So his gesture of repentance would be like this. All throughout the prayer it would be like that. This is the Eastern tradition.
He would do that himself?
Yeah. How?
He would do this himself?
Yeah.
In these prayers? Not the
like, huh? Yeah.
As it was being recited.
That is the Eastern tradition. Mm-hmm. When you repent.
And we used to?
See, even the children, all right, Tobakar, mm-hmm. we call it, say, the child will do like this. Mm-hmm. That means you have repented for what mischief you have done. With the children, the parents do the same thing. It's not here, it's in throughout the East it's like that.
You would do that also, the mandali?
Yeah.
During the prayer of repentance?
Yeah. So, no, mandali would be just quiet like that, but he would do it like this. He would participate in the prayer, but the proper ways. He would do that. And this was too much for this philosopher. This means it's a stamp of certainty that he has to repent also. He followed. Mm-hmm. So it was too much for him to accept all this. And, well, after that repentance, then the worst situation was when each one was asked to put forth his foot where he would bow down. That was the last straw that broke the camel's back, as you call it. So he was so confused, he was terribly confused. He, who was the one who has compiled the discourses, he is the one who was so foremost and so vociferous about asserting that Meher Baba is infinite consciousness and form. You follow? He is the avatar of the age and all that. All of a sudden, the whole black cloud, you see, burdened him. With doubt and confusion. And this remained for years together, 2 years. Mm-hmm. We didn't know. He never expressed, had he expressed, everything would have been solved in no time. Because Baba always would say anything, everything, or difficulties. But how dare can he say such a thing? Such a thought, how can he express such a thought? You know, mm-hmm. human frailties are there. If there are things of great strength, one would dare to throw strength out, but one cannot dare to throw one's weaknesses out, you see. That's the trouble.
Yet it would have been best, probably, if he did.
Yeah, of course. Best. But then he did, but see how Baba brings about the whole thing. So what happened is that his whole vacation was lost, likewise, because he was confused. He couldn't enjoy it. He couldn't be with Baba because his mind was preoccupied. There is some greater God than Meher Baba. Meher Baba worships somebody. There is something, you see, where he has to repent for his sins. And he, not only that, but he bows down at the feet of these people, us all. He hesitated in the beginning. So Baba admonished him. No, when you are participating, you have to follow the conduct. So he had to do it perforce. And he didn't like it. And what is all this? In the meantime, his mother died. When he went back, his mother died. When his mother died, he is a Brahmin by caste, high class Brahmin. So his mother died, and of course he attended to the last rites and all that, being the eldest in the house and all that. Old mother, he loved her very much. But when she died, and this according to Indian custom, that there are certain things, her possessions, which she treasured all the more. So they are all the time bundled, you see, and they are kept aloof on a shelf, not to be meddled with or anything of the sort. The rest of the things, of course, are distributed, but the ones that were very close to her, personal thing of hers, so it's always bundled. And at the end of 1 year, on the anniversary of death, they are opened by the person who has attended the funeral rites. Who that means the eldest son or the husband or whosoever it be. So he came again next vacation. He was still confused. He didn't know what to do, how to say it to Baba or anything. He just remained, you see, sober all the time and all. But then, after the anniversary, he took the bundle from the shelf and opened it. And when he opened the bundle, there was one thing that he found there, was a book. And he remembered his mother all the time would read a book. And he was very curious to find what was she reading all the time, you see. So he took the book, being a philosopher himself, naturally he had the fondness for reading. Not for any other trinkets that were there, you see, as a personal belonging. So he opened the book and there he starts reading. So when he opens the book, the chapter that is opened there is Lord Krishna in the act of prayer. So he says, what? Lord Krishna in the act of prayer? So he begins to read, he begins to devour everything there. You know. He says, what is it? So then he eventually told us this story. Next time when he came, he was so relieved. So he himself told the story to Baba. And that is how we gathered the confusion that he had. Then he told the story. And the story was this, that Lord Krishna is there in the act of prayer. So the story reads like this, that one of his closest disciples, Narad, comes to the court of Lord Krishna one day, and he has something to convey to Lord Krishna, but he stopped at the gate of the palace. So he is very much annoyed with this, because he had the right to enter whenever he wanted. He was a close disciple of Krishna. So he stopped. He says, why? What's the reason? Do you know? I can go inside. He says, not today. He says, why not today? Because he has told us, he has ordered us, that he should not be disturbed because he is in the act of prayer. He is worshipping. And Narad, you see, he completely forgot the message that he wanted to give and all this. He says, who could he be worshipping? His mind started saying the same thing that the professor thought. Who could he be worshipping? Is there any greater God than the Lord? We have been following him closely, we have given up the world and all that and are at his feet and all that, knowing fully well that he is the God, but he has come in human form. And is there anybody greater than him? Then why can't we worship him? Whom does he worship? When will he come out? When did he start doing this? He says, this morning he has gone there. He says, don't disturb. Stop anybody coming inside because he doesn't wish to be disturbed. So Narad, full of confusion, is strolling in the courtyard of the palace of Lord Krishna. And while he's strolling there, after an hour and a half, the Lord comes out and looks outside and says, Narad, you have come here so early in the morning. He says, yes, my Lord. He goes there, pays his respects, and says, you seem to be agitated, what's the matter with you? He says, yes, I feel so confused about it all. Why? I never knew that you needed prayer, you need to worship. I'm so confused. Why should you have any need to worship? Whom do you worship? Is there any greater God than you are? He says, you want to know? He says, yes, I would love to. I would want to know. So he says, all right. He, with a smile, he takes him, leads him. And he takes him to his place where he worships. And what does he find? Tiny little idols made out of his own disciples. He says, these are my gods. I pour out my love to them because they pour out their love to me. And I am love, divine. Love needs to flow. I love them and they love me, and this is my game, and I enjoy it. This is my worship. So that satisfied, appeased Dr. Deshmukh here, in this, after 5,000 years, you see. Now this announcement is very important for you all to know. Yeah.
When Baba would participate, would he face the chair or face
him? No, face us. Like he would face us, and we would face him.
Just like Krishna.
Yeah.